Welcome to Sports Med Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedrez.org discussed a study that found that following an anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction rehabilitation, patients continue to experience muscular strength and stability deficits in the affected limb compared with the unaffected limb. This is potentially caused by the loss of neuromuscular control following an ACL reconstruction and the rehabilitation process. The goals of rehabilitation after an anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction are to restore the range of motion, strength, and neuromuscular control. This is done in an effort to return a patient to pre-injury activity levels. Despite these efforts, we often see long-term strength deficits in the muscles responsible for dynamic knee stabilization. Therefore, Otsel and colleagues completed a study to comprehensively analyze the long-term post-surgical outcomes following an ACL reconstruction. 24 patients who underwent an ACL reconstruction and completed a rehabilitation regimen were recruited for the study. The researchers matched all patients to a control group with respect to gender, height, and weight. All patients with an ACL reconstruction completed rehabilitation and returned to recreational physical activity. Prior to any testing, all participants completed a 5-minute warm-up on a treadmill. During each testing session, an investigator measured bilateral thigh circumference. Participants then completed strength and neuromuscular control testing on a Kincomp AP125 dynamometer. All participants completed 2 sets of 3 trials of maximal effort for knee flexion and extension movements at 180 degrees per second, followed by 60 degrees per second. After maximum voluntary contractions were recorded, researchers placed electrodes in a bipolar configuration over the rectus femoris and vastus medialis. Participants performed maximal effort isometric knee extension, and as their output was steady, the researchers delivered an electrical impulse to assess central activation deficits of the quadriceps muscles. Overall, knee extensor strength deficits and central activation deficits of the quadriceps were detected in the involved limb compared with the uninvolved. Further, no difference in quadriceps size was found in the ACL reconstructed patients compared with the controls. Overall, the current study demonstrates that patients with an ACL reconstruction have strength and central activation deficits. However, the participants with ACL reconstruction and control participants had similar quadriceps size, which indicates that central activation deficits may be a key issue following an ACL reconstruction. These deficits could reduce the patient's ability to stabilize the joint, which may increase the risk for a new joint injury or further joint damage. These findings should raise awareness for the need to continue and even expand neuromuscular recruitment training throughout the rehabilitation process. However, we need to identify how long these deficits persist, if they ever resolve, and if they resolve, then the time frame in which this is accomplished. This should be a key piece in identifying how intensely and how often neuromuscular training should continue in the rehabilitation process, or if the rehabilitation process should be lengthened to sufficiently correct these deficits. Until then, clinicians should look to limit neuromuscular activation deficits following ACL reconstruction, and rely more on interlimb strength levels instead of muscle atrophy measurements when considering return to activity decisions. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a link to the Moms Heme's post regarding the NATA releasing an executive summary of revised exertional heat illness position state. We also shared a study published in the Clinical Journal of Sport Medicine that found that most injuries evaluated in youth lacrosse were contusions or lacerations. However, serious injuries were observed, including concussions, in boys in the age group where body contact is allowed. If you have a question you'd like us to address on this podcast, please send us a message via social media. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.